Into the Nexus is a production of amove.tv. Bookmark Amove TV for other great video games and esports podcasts. Into the Nexus is sponsored by listeners like you via patreon.com/ITN.
Up to 30 seconds to even launch the game. So everyone's sitting around being like, what's going on? Why isn't the game started?
Oh yeah, the mismatch is serious. Like if you go like search for Heroes of the Storm news, it's the number one article that pops up is something covering that, like, some people straight up can't play this game.
Yeah,
we're feeling a little out to pasture at the moment. It's a little bit. Luckily, I've been okay. I have had performance issues. The first game of any launch, usually the first 3 minutes, I just have frame stuttering, and there's just nothing I can do about it. Like, everything else I play is fine, and it's usually only the first game after, like, freshly launching Heroes.
Oh, gross.
And so always during the initial fight of my first game, it's just hitch, and I'm just like, Zarr, come on! I can't believe we got kills in that Vala game.
Are you on solid state?
You know what? I might not be. Heroes has been on this computer so long, I don't think I moved it over to my SSD.
Yeah, you got to do solid state, because what happens is it doesn't actually load the models until they're seen in sight. And then when they hit level 10, if they summon like a water elemental, the game will go, loading, I'm loading water elemental. Okay, here you go. Mm. And so last week when Coffee played, he was on a MacBook, and every fight, a new Lightwell came out, some sort of graphical something new happened, and he couldn't control his heroes during that time.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah. So if you want to stay on your current load, you'll have to do what I did back during the Junkrat patch when I didn't have solid state and I was trying to stream. You have to start a replay, watch the replay, and let heroes use abilities until 10, so that it loads like 10 data. And then you can play your actual game.
I've got plenty of space I have two SSDs now on this rig, so I'll just uninstall and reinstall.
Hi, Brickwood. Hi, Jazzeline.
Yeah, I saw Jazzeline in there supporting Jelly Donuts, which, you know, listen, more Jelly Donuts for you. I've never been big on jelly in general. I'm finding more and more, Kyle, that I'm a very basic individual. In a lot of aspects of life, I really like just a chocolate frosted donut, just a classic.
Mm, yeah.
Classic chocolate frosted donut.
I don't feel well after donuts anymore.
I feel fine. I can, if I do more than one and a half, like a few times a year, if Katie and I are doing like an early trip somewhere, like we're getting up early, going to the parks or something, we'll buy three donuts and we split the third one. And I'm good because a couple years ago we bought four and both of us felt terrible.
I got like a sugar thing, which I'm sure is going to get much, much worse as I get older, which is sad. I can't do high fructose corn syrup anymore, which is fine. Like, you know, I'll pay $3 for a pack of M&Ms at the Whole Foods rather than the $1. But
oh man, Katie came home with peanut butter M&Ms. Because I made some passing comment that I was all about them when I was a kid, and I can't remember the last time I had them. And I'm in my last month of this semester, and it's been particularly hard, and Katie can tell I've been stressed out. So when that happens, she surprises me with things. And she brought me home a big-ass bag of peanut butter M&Ms, and holy crap, man, it straight up tastes like my childhood.
That's nice.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to finishing it, though, so they're not in the house anymore.
Yeah, you gotta destroy them as fast as possible. That keeps the calories low.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been running again. Been out three times this week, but yeah. Yeah. Jazzeline gave more info on that version mismatch. Were you aware of all this?
No, what's going on?
So Jazzeline says the version mismatch. Now I'm having trouble saying it. Trying to join lobbies gives you lobby not available all the time. Lots of times you just can't ready in any mode. I've run into that bug. Was in a custom match where the only hero one of our players could pick was Naz, and then last night I started getting DC'd saying Blizzard service is not available.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The Wild Blues are very busy, which is interesting to see. I got, that gets a little bit into our conversation we're going to have today, actually. So.
Yeah, I mean, I've been recording. We could just like cold open this week because this has been a Heroes talk. I mean, minus donuts, but
except for
hey, podcast listeners, you love it when we get off topic, right? Dear podcast listeners, what I want you to do is write into itncast@gmail.com or in the patron Discord and let us know what your favorite donut is. If you liked this cold open, because I've just been recording, man. Like, and this is good stuff. This is what's happening in Heroes right now. There's some issues and people are having to deal with them.
Truth of it.
We are the show of the people, Kyle.
The show of the people.
The show of the people.
For the people.
You've got the higher end and I've got the I give up. I'm just playing quick match from now on end.
I mean, this is the show of the people. It's financed by the people for the people right now. So it is absolutely the show of the people. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, now we're going to be honest, like patrons, like there's multiple times a week where Kyle and I kind of look at each other because we you and I talk a lot. And we're like, man, can you believe the Patreon's like still doing as well as it is?
It's amazing. Like people love this game and I love making the show. And so, you know, we're here because of you, because of us. Like, but it is an absolute treat that we get to talk about a game we love with the backing to keep it going, despite everything that's gone on at Blizzard. We are on a special little island, a privately owned island of joy in the sea of madness.
Yeah. It's strange. It's too sweeping to be like, oh, with everything going on in WoW, because some people are loving it. Like it's not everybody's cup of tea, but I've got plenty of friends who are loving what's going on in WoW. And if they like what they're playing, that's all that freaking matters. But yeah, like from the outside looking in, it's a little odd. Definitely not bringing me back by any means. I'm looking forward to Wrath of the Lich King. Classic.
Now the weird thing about WoW for me, right, we're looking from the outside, is it must be nice to like what they're serving, right? Like,
yeah, you're the biggest hipster gamer I know. You love it when you don't agree with everybody and you're just having a good old time. So I bet if you're in the pocket right now of what WoW's serving up and you're just like digging it, you're probably just like, yeah, whatever. I don't care. I understand why this is special and I'm having a great time. You know, eat it haters kind of a thing. I bet there's a feeling of that among a few folks that are enjoying what WoW is doing.
It's a weird phenomenon. You know, of course, then just gets into comparisons with Final Fantasy 14, which aren't necessarily healthy, but with their new announcement that they're trying to bring back old content, make it relevant again, it's like, and we will serve you what we think you want. It's like, just do it all. Just like, I of course, I'm talking as an armchair, you know, consumer, but like, stop piecemealing this. Stop making time walking things. Just like, do it all. You've done everything. And the reinventing of the wheel, every single expansion, it's just so sad. It reminds me of the stories you tell about art school where you turned in your painting and the teacher was like, nope, it's crap. And like, and then that was like the lesson. I'll teach you to make a healthy Legion expansion. Do it again. Do it differently. It's like, just build on yourself. Just don't reinvent the spoon. Just like it's a functional utensil.
I think it's easy for a lot of us to say now, to be honest. Like, now that like a large chunk of players have kind of either gotten bored enough or just don't like the game enough. And I think there's a good mix. I think there's a good mix that a lot of people aren't admitting. I think there's a good group of people that left WoW to go play other games like Final Fantasy that maybe don't even particularly dislike what's happening with World of Warcraft. I think they've just been playing for half of their actual lives, because I've been playing for almost half my life, and they're going to just be bored. They might just be bored. So I think with this, like, there is a bit of an exodus going on. There's a lot of people actually playing a different MMO for in mass numbers, like a quantity large enough that you can feel it as a cultural shift for the first time ever, that I think it's easy to talk about stuff like that. It's easy to look at what a popular game right here and now is doing right, because you have it there to compare it to. I think it's, you look at the history of WoW and you think of it during its peak, and the times I really enjoyed it, which was like post Wrath of Lich King, which was post the peak, but like Mists of Pandaria was some of my favorite WoW ever. And I think it's, if you think about it, like try to put yourself back in those shoes and back in that time period, WoW WoW could do no wrong. We were really enjoying what WoW was doing. Cataclysm kind of misstepped a bit. There was a lot of criticism about that, but even Mists of Pandaria like had a lot of praise, and we all, for the most part, I feel like the popular opinion was that it was still firing on all cylinders and doing everything correct. And so the WoW way of doing things, where every expansion was you know, something new, that's how we thought you did it. And, yeah. And honestly, I think there's something to both, like, because WoW was doing that when we all couldn't get enough of it, and it's still doing it now. It's just that, yeah, for some of us, myself among them, it's not landing. So I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts on that. Clearly, I think it's
naturally. And you've been, you know, more in that mind space more recently, having only, you know, quit in the last 3 months or so.
Yeah. Well, not yet. I've got, for the most part, everyone, like, I found a lot of like-minded individuals that are like, oh yeah, no, I feel what you're feeling, Garrett. But I've had a few people who are just like, you kind of seem like you're crapping on it for the sake of crapping on it. And like, you know, maybe a little bit, it's, you know, it's fun in a breakup to just be like, ah, they always sucked. Like, I don't really believe that with WoW. Like, I love Warcraft. And you know, I look forward to the day where I'm really into it again, because it's a universe I really enjoy.
There's an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry goes to, I think it's a Mediterranean restaurant, and wants spaghetti. And he keeps getting this Mediterranean restaurant owner to keep changing their menu for him, because he thinks the restaurant will be better if it serves all American food, no Italian, no. And the restaurant owner keeps being like, yeah, okay, you're my number one customer, like, I will add this. And then eventually he's sitting there, he's like, the spaghetti's not good, and you know what, I kind of want Mediterranean.
I think it was the
joke at the end.
I think it was the other way around, because I liked that episode. I think it was like, oh, the guy opened it as an Italian, and he's like, well, wait, where are you from? And I think it was from Iran. And he's like, what do they make in Iran? You should make Iranian food. And he makes it, and no one eats there anymore, because no one wanted Iranian food.
But then eventually at the end, they're like, well, I wanted Iranian. And I feel like that's what is happening with WoW. There's kind of this, right now there's this ball chasing that they're doing, that they're trying to catch that lightning in a bottle instead of playing into what World of Warcraft was great at. And that's where my brain has been really kind of exploring recently, because I'm enjoying Final Fantasy 14 raiding, but it's a very different system. So like, what's the big difference there? And I feel like World of Warcraft is more in that Blizzard invented and Diablo kind of inspired gear circle, where maybe it's not about being challenged. Like, maybe the real joy of World of Warcraft is just having enough gear that you completely wreck something. And the challenge along the way is like Dark Souls, and we invoke Dark Souls for so many things. So I'm just taking a small slice here, but
It's a little hot right now. And I think you don't need to, it's fine. A lot of people's heads, I think, are in the From Software mindset at the moment.
Well, and what I mean there is like the souls, the runes kind of system, where like Dark Souls can be so frustrating, but it's that wicked buzz you get off of running into an enemy that you previously faced, and you completely school them because you're 20 levels higher now. Or what used to be a boss now appears as five normal minions at the same time, and your brain goes, oh my God, I've improved so much. And I feel like that's really the joy of WoW. And then when you take that system, it works in Diablo. But over the years, what wore me down quite a bit was that power fantasy of being super geared in schooling is held back by the weakest person on the team, in the room, in the guild, in the raid. And as they've added more dancing and less gear check kind of systems, that burden on the rest of the raid has only increased. So your own personal performance in there feels weaker and weaker each passing day.
Yeah, it's strange to say that I liked it more when it was a little more like A to B grindy, but I did. It was a simpler system. Like I've said it before, I liked having my like my gear shopping list. I know exactly what gear I want. I know exactly where it drops, and I'm going to keep doing that content until I get it. And now you have this more Diablo-fied system where a lot of the gear is randomized and you're grinding mythics and whatnot. I know mythics landed for a lot of people, but it did not for me. But
I really enjoy them. I just do not want to take a week off and lose my key like that. I just want to do the Diablo thing where I walk in there, I walk to the little key globe thing, and I say I would like to do 10 today, and if I suck, and that's the end. Like if I can't do it, I can't.
If you got it in the first place too, the game thinks you can handle it. So like, why does waiting matter? My gear didn't get worse. You don't degrade my eye level because I took a week off. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But
So just let me go in there. Maybe make it achievement based. Like, I've been to 5, so now I can go to 6 anytime. But don't make me run a 5 again to get to 6. Like, that's just not, that's not a cool guy thing to do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. It's an interesting week looking at like the conversation coming out of certain Blizzard teams. The Heroes team is really, really quiet right now.
50 days since the last game related mention from the devs.
Yeah. We've had a few blue posts, but they're just like kind of friendly, checking in with the community stuff. It's nothing of like content weight, right? So, and I think it was, I'm going to scroll back up in the chat room here because we were kind of vibing in our talk there. I think Jazeline said, expressed concern that the bugs are currently in game are going to snowball and impact things like CCL. And yeah, you know, I share that concern at the same time too, though. Like, I don't know. I'm not stoked about how quiet they've been, but I feel like if it got to that point, like, I still trust the team enough that they would do something about it. Like, I feel like they would flex from whatever their current schedule is for updates to get something out and into our hands to fix the game from a truly broken state. Although, like, again, like, I don't know, like, enough people are experiencing it that anecdotally it feels like it's a big enough issue that they should do something about it.
Yeah, the spin would be the weirdest part. If that inevitability were to ever come to pass, like the HGC letter back in the day, like, we hear you, we hear our investors, and we are prepared to do what's necessary by canceling Heroes of the Storm. But they're going to, you know, they spin it as like this, like, oh, the sacrifices we make, how the future is bright. And that would be the absolute insane part of it. But ultimately, in the background, trust would be lost entirely in live system games from Blizzard. And that's why I'm not scared of that, because You can't start down that road of turning off Heroes of the Storm, Diablo, whatever else, because you're taking people's money that they put into your system and saying, we don't want it anymore. Like, the amount of fear, buyer's remorse and cautious spending that would happen would be too much.
Well, and it's like, I don't think they can afford to do it either, because like, they really only had one major instance of that, and that was like bricking OG Warcraft 3 online play with the release of Reforged, which still hasn't been rolled back.
Now,
if HOTS hits a point where it is like objectively broken, like I don't know, like, yeah, I'm with you. I think faith in Blizzard's ability to keep their games playable and supported, that'd be a bridge too far.
Well, we're the company picnics. We're not Pizza Friday, luckily, because Pizza Friday is a scary tactic. But we are the thing.
Gonna need to explain that more. Wait, what? Yeah,
Heroes of the Storm is the thing that happens when Blizzard's healthy. Is my point. Like, right now, they're in full cutback mode. They've cut all the weekend trips. They've cut all the social gathering. They cut the hot air balloon at the local festival, which is what Intel did when I was growing up. So, you know, like, this is. And, like, Intel funded my entire high school. I went to the high school that that they filmed Breaking Bad in the beginning of.
Yeah, this is when you grew up in Albuquerque, right?
Yeah. So they, Intel, the factory, paid for my high school, and we had laptops, you know, laptops, if you will, you know, 2004. You know, they were giant, but we had laptops and like technology, and it was supposed to be this, you know, educational outreach that was going to cause the high school to produce technically minded people. And, you know, I had like AutoCAD class and like some really cool stuff, web design. And then it was going to feed into UNM, and that was going to feed back into the factory. But they ended up shipping all the factory part of the factory to India. And then the local fab, the factory that made chips, became a HR building, basically a representative place where they would communicate and do meetings and stuff like that. And maybe even fly people in. So that, you know, these pieces are all intertwined. And for Blizzard, I think certainly with Heroes of Storm being BlizzCon the game, as they've said in the past, like they're very, very much intertwined. And I think that a healthy Heroes of the Storm is a healthy Blizzard. And all the games feeding into Heroes of the Storm is a possibility when things can get back on track. But that's why it's so interesting that WoW came out this week and was like, hey, season 4 Shadowlands. Like, well, all right, well, let's do this. It's going to be awesome. And the write on the wall is, oh, so you mean no expansion this year in 2022. We're now looking at 2023 for 10.0.
That's the reading between the lines for sure, right? Because they didn't come out and say point blank, like, no expansion this year, right?
Not precisely. And we had the announcement coming up on April 19th. Yeah, something like that. The Aprils.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. And this might, oh, you're right. It is the 19th. My bad. This is probably the first time ever I'll be like, boy, the HOTS team could sure learn something from World of Warcraft's communication. I think this might be the first time I ever, although now seeing the way it was written, because I kind of breezed through this because I'm not really keeping my finger on the WoW pulse at the moment. But seeing that it wasn't them saying, hey, don't expect the expansion anytime soon. And instead it was, here's what is coming, which I think is, you know, it's a decent strategy. Like, instead of focusing on what you're not getting, here's what you are. Here's what we can give you. I don't know. I'm not asking for a roadmap or anything, but boy, it would be nice for a little check-in. I would kill for an AMA with the devs.
I agree. Well, and World of Warcraft still has community managers, which is really the dividing factor there. And when you get into that kind of like level, I totally can see, you know, despite everything that happened at Blizzard, Exodus, scandal, everything involved, I can totally see sitting in your suit in a boardroom and being like, we have all these streamers. These streamers are making free advertisement for our game. What do we need community management people for? And they're like, oh, here. And they all bang the table and like, oh, here. They like the game. They play the game. They talk about our news for us. They'll make videos about it. Bang the gavel. Get rid of the community managers. But the community managers kept the streamers happy. Like, there was a direct relationship. You received a loot box in the mail and you went, oh my God, I'm so invested. I'm enchanted by this community, by this event, by this company. And when that got lost, we all started asking questions. And I don't think never having those things going away was the cause of that loss of enchantment. It was just more stark at that point.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That's fair. It's like, it does, it seems like official lines of communication with Heroes is just, it's gone. Like, I've given up, man. I haven't written to PR for Heroes contact in like a year, because it's probably been like two or three since I've gotten a response from PR. So the devs we've had on, it's been more like on Twitter being like, hey, yo, you want to come on? And then they go to, like, this is my understanding, I don't know for a fact, but they go to the right channels, because we're just getting ghosted. It doesn't seem to be any interest in having a line of communication open for Heroes of the Storm.
Which is, I mean, more shout outs and props to the devs we have on. It's their personal time. We're taking their lunches. We're taking their afternoons. Like, they are not doing this necessarily on the clock or for the PR for the company. They're doing it out of their own goodwill.
Sure. Seems like it's the vibe we get. We don't know for sure, but sure doesn't seem like there's a any sort of marketing plan for Heroes. And if there was, I doubt it would include talk to those two dorks on Into the Nexus.
Get those critical guys in here. We need to talk to them.
Get those guys that literally had an episode celebrating Jael and Brack being fired. Get those guys.
That's why, I mean, the kind of switching to that more kind of general sphere, that's why I'm really excited cautiously by like Witcher 4 announcing they're going with the Unreal Engine, because hopefully this means a end to the frostbitey insanity we have seen out of companies for so long.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at Corny in chat room who said, nice jab.
Well done. Done.
Yeah, dude, I mean, like, listen, let's dump on something that isn't World of Warcraft for a moment. Of course they did, because Cyberpunk was a complete mess.
It was, but that's because they were trying to use...
It is like the most disappointing sequel since like Rise of Skywalker. Like, not a sequel, but like follow-up. Like, what an absolute ball drop.
This happens a lot in a lot of different things. You know, properties, Spider-Man, some have been good, some have been bad. There are these sort of media production pipelines where we have the assets, we have the license, we got to make something out of it. And you got to use Frostbite Engine to make your solo play game. And they're like, no, this is horrible. I'm convinced there's movies with cars like James Bond are made And those cars get wrecked, they get bought. And then like every 10 years, every studio has like 30 to 100 cars sitting around. They're like, what are we going to do? And someone's like, Death Race. Let's make a straight to video Death Race. Or, oh, hey, how about Fast 7? And you're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And sometimes they're Death Race and sometimes they're Fast 7. Like, you know, it's not always bad, but there is this surplus. And in this case, Witcher 3 was trying to keep their engine in house to save money. And you can't blame them for that. But going with a supported engine where you can outsource your tech help to your artists, that just sounds really nice.
Yeah, I mean, as it applies to like our side of the pond, like, you know, Blizzard Games and Heroes of the Storm specifically, like we already know they outsource.
Yeah.
Like outsourcing is already taking place. I don't know what they're working in now. I would imagine they're still not working in 3DS Studio Max.
That would just be like the design program, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about like it's like when they, because we know they outsource skins now. So I'm like, yeah. What are they like? I don't know, because Blender, as far as I know, is kind of like really stolen the market share from stuff like Maya and other competitors. But I don't know.
And we don't know what they're making Diablo 4 in. We know that the StarCraft engine, as well as the Heroes engine being the same, was licensed out. Like that, they bought the rights to use an engine outside of Blizzard. They didn't make their own. I think World of Warcraft was made in-house back in the day, like the engine that it sits on.
I believe that to be the case. Isn't there like what the hell are they? I think they're still like running like Havoc physics and stuff. I don't know. I don't know what it's built in. But
I'd be very curious to see what they're making Diablo 4 in.
Oh, that's a good point.
What did they make Overwatch in for that?
I think that's their own engine.
Yeah, probably like the Titan engine or something along those lines.
Well, yeah, because it was built on the backbone of what Titan was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Anyone listening that actually knows the answer to these questions, go nuts, please. Please let us know. Yeah, Robots Radio is confirming that WoW was an internal engine. That I thought I knew. But now you've got me questioning everything. Yeah. It's an interesting thought. Like I don't know. Like it's like that just makes me happy for Witcher. Like it's fun to daydream about, like, oh, let's port HOTS to something a little more widely known and usable and have more outsourcing, but I don't think that's ever gonna happen.
The engine, now this is one of those weird sites, you know, sometimes you ask a question in Google and you get just the weirdest things. Like this is a engineering institute, but they have answers about Overwatch's engine. So I don't know. Sometimes you end up like on senior help when you're looking up like cat facts. So I don't know. The internet's weird. But according to this, it's a C++ engine that was designed by themselves and they debated using Unreal 3.
Hmm. And Unreal is ubiquitous. A lot of people like working in it. I don't know, man. Like on our end, it's like every once in a while, someone's like, oh, why don't you do your own thing instead of Patreon? It's just like, I do not want to put the work in. Like, yeah, I could clear a little bit more of a percentage, but it's like, you still need to rent through PayPal, which takes a percentage. So it's like, yeah, no, at a certain point, it's like, yeah. Or my favorite thing. Hey, Kyle, you remember when we first started podcasting and we ran a WordPress blog and every single time there was an update, six times a week, it bricked?
But we did. We had a fan. I don't remember their name.
Disker actually used to help us with that. Oh, an app. Okay, I was going
to
say.
Remember the old app we had to run our chat or, oh my God, what was it called?
IRC.
Was it called back? The things you would post in.
We had an IRC chat.
Yeah, but we had a forum. We had a forum.
Oh, you're talking about the forum. Yeah. Well, that ran separately.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, but like everybody being like I don't know. Every once in a while, someone's like, "Oh, you run on Squarespace? Why don't you run your own website?" It's like, well, I used to run on WordPress, which I was told was easy, and it bricked the podcast at least once a month. Like it was just an absolute hellscape. Like, yeah, at a certain point, I will sacrifice a few bucks for peace of mind. That's a way smaller scale than should we license an existing game engine or not, but it's like I just, you scale that up and I can understand the mentality.
And the this website's wonderfully confused because then I asked what engine does Diablo use, and I said, "Ah, the Lamborghini Diablo. It's a 5-speed manual."
those are becoming hot commodities. They were among the cheaper Lambos you could buy for a while there, but they're starting to creep.
Oh
back
my
up.
God!
Yeah,
you say Lamborghini so often, you need a shortened form.
You've never heard anyone say Lambo?
I've never.
Don't heard you listen to rap music?
No, not really.
Like, I know you've heard Wow by Post Malone, where one of the lyrics is literally 750 Lambo in the Utah snow.
No.
Wow. Okay. No,
see, it's been very all classical Portland around here for a while.
not a lot of Lamborghinis in Portland.
No, you see, when you go to Spotify and you turn off explicit lyrics, the whole of Spotify shrinks to about 50% of what it was.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Every once in a while, Kyle, I forget that you're a dad. I know you've been a dad for a while, but every once in a while, it slips my mind because I realize how we talk to each other when we're not in front of microphones, which is
my
very cursed.
My workout was ruined, absolutely destroyed. But actually, metal, like power metal, very safe.
Metal. Like, you go back to a lot of 80s stuff. You stay away from the stuff that are clearly allegories for extremely explicit sex acts. Yeah, you got some good stuff, man. Yeah. There's plenty of Van Halen that I think is good safe.
I mean, I was listening to Angel as the Centerfold on the bus going to school. Like, nobody knew. No one really thought about it.
Nobody understood it. No, I mean, I grew up every Sunday. It was a mix of blues. And then my dad also had like a mix of like AC/DC, Van Halen, and Ozzy. Like, so it was kind of whatever, man.
According to Observantly Scient, D4 is a new in-house engine. So my main what we often hear is artists, the creatives at a company battling with the engine, and, you know, more likely they take their ideas to the programmers and the programmers battle with the engine. But, you know, there's and here's what I can do back. And they say, OK, well, we can't do a train in Cyberpunk anymore. Let's get rid of the train. But the train was going to be this beautiful theme and this big set piece. Well, we can't do it anymore. So the story changes and the story's limited and it's this compounding effect. So I'm really interested if D4 is a usable engine in that way that can house those ideas and express those ideas. But that's why I love the idea of a outsourced, fully performing engine where your ideas can be manifest. And if they can't, you can go to the person you're licensing it from and say, how are we supposed to do this?
It would be nice. I wouldn't put money on it happening for HOTS.
No, like that we're going to change engines or something like that. No, unlikely. The problem is still the cores there. And I've talked about that before. If we can just get multi-thread technology to run on HOTS and StarCraft, we'll be good to go for the long future.
Somewhere there's an engineer at Blizzard that just feels the disturbance of what you're saying. If we could just, and they're just going, oh my God, I've seen it. I know how impossible it is to accomplish this.
And eventually like our CPUs will be powerful. You know, it's the spinning disc kind of equation, right? Like we're almost there. Someone's going to look at a hard drive, a solid state and go, you know, we could have bigger solid states if it's spun. And what if we like put a laser on it that read the solid state? And they're like, oh my God, you're so right. We can have 20 terabyte hard drives if just we make the solid state spin.
Wait, so we're
genius.
We're going full circle to where we're going to have spinning drives again.
Right. Well, that's my theory anyway. Like it's these stepping stones, right? And eventually our CPUs will be powerful enough without hyperthreading technology that will go back to a single CPU and then we'll hyperthread again. So there will be a time in the future where this is completely moot like this. You know, Warcraft 3 used to lag when I do 12-3 free-for-all. Like I think Fremont or something like that. There was a great map for it. I love doing it. But man, my laptop, even my home gaming rig from Best Buy couldn't handle it back in the day.
Hey, man, to go back to the Lambo, like most hypercars now have gotten the fastest they've ever been by adding technology from hybrid cars. It's like, oh, if we mix an electric engine on all four individual wheels with a combustion engine, this thing's just a full-on death trap. It's a rocket to the moon. enjoy. It's just like, well, yeah, I wasn't expecting it at some point. And this is years ago, too, when they started doing it. I wasn't expecting a Toyota Prius to help make Lamborghinis and Ferraris faster. But here we are.
Spinning the solid state.
If that ever happens, I'm going to call you and be like, I can't believe you did. Because like you're saying that, I'm just like, there's no way. There's no way something like that would work. I realize you're just trying to make like an example, but watch it actually happens, and I'm gonna have to be like, Kyle, you're a genius. IBM needs to send. IBM needs to pony up. They paid for your high school. Now they need to pay for your idea.
Intel. But yes,
Intel. Yeah. My bad.
How dare you confuse technology corporations with? I think that's an abbreviation too. Like
the begin with the letter I.
Yeah.
The sorry, Kyle. See, I went on Spaceship Earth over the weekend. So, you know, I'm thinking of that scene where they've got the mannequin of Bill Gates sitting in his garage.
Wait, what? Bill Gates is in it now?
Is it Bill Gates? I don't know. In the Spaceship Earth, towards the end, when they talk about the technological age, you go through a garage and there's a person there creating the first personal computer.
Before the AT&T fire lines fly across the space and become, you see the moon and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been in there in forever.
I just assumed it was Bill Gates.
Could be. That'd be solid.
I guess it could be Wozniak, right?
Does Rome Burning still smell good?
Yes. Yes, there is. I found a company that sells a candle, by the way. I was like, oh, I need to get one of those for Kyle.
I actually got one. I forgot what its name. I've already ran through it. But yeah, I love that smoky smell of Rome Burning. But I miss Jeremy Irons. It hasn't been the same since then.
Oh, but like it's Judi Dench now. Judi Dench is great.
It's not the same gravitas. You know, she's great. She is. She's great. But, you know, seeing cavemen battle ghostly figures just isn't. If they're even still in there, it's still cavemen?
Yeah, they're still in there. Okay. The big rejection on the wall in the super dark room with the cavemen fighting mammoth. Yeah, it's still there.
Okay, cool.
It's still
cool.
There.
Yeah. Because the universe of energy is gone, and I don't know how we're supposed to survive without it.
Send your favorite Epcot ride to itncast@gmail.com. All right.
Points for Figment.
Moving on. I hate the Figment ride, man. That ride.
Oh, the new one sucks. The original was awesome.
I never rode the original, and I've watched multiple. Obviously, I've seen the defunct land on it, but I've seen multiple YouTube videos on the original. It looks amazing. But was it Journey into the Imagination now? That ride stinks.
It does.
Yeah. Anyways, getting back to Hotsland, buddy. Did you have a better week? How's NGS going for you?
Oh yeah, no, well we won one this week. Granted, it was versus Gilly Sharks at the bingo night. And if you're not familiar with what the bingo Gilly Sharks do, they run a bingo board that is generated on a website they created so that they can play bingo while they play.
Why?
Well, I believe they've been together for 13 seasons. So eventually you've landed all the Imperious Super Stun combos that you care to, and insanity takes hold. And honestly, it's a really fun idea. Like we'll ask them. Maybe I'll report in a future week if we can like make their system, their website public, because I've access to it, but you know, I was gifted that. So I won't go sharing that link quite yet, but I shared an image with you here. So you start with a large grid, 5x5. And over the course of the night, you try to fill in the bingo sheet and win bingo and see how many bingos you can get.
I'm aware of how bingo works, Kyle. Yeah, I'm unaware of how bingo works while you're playing.
You're in Florida, of course, you know how bingo works.
Yes, every school I ever went to had a charity bingo night. Every single one of them.
Old people.
Also, when I go to Key West every year, we play bingo at least once.
Yeah, it's fun.
They do it at the pool, the place we stay.
Yeah. Nice. It's disturbing to see the people with like 20 cards, like micromanaging.
Oh yeah. And that happens. Yeah. And then like someone's kid is playing with their parents and they go up because they won. And then one of the old ladies complains and then we don't get to do bingo for the rest of the time we're there because management shuts it down. The old ladies are like, really? I'm mad that I lost. So I'm going to report this child for gambling, even though they were just using the card for her mom.
Oh no.
Yes. Yes. Thanks, Karen.
Yeah, bingo. It's gambling when you have 20 cards in front of you, but when you're a child innocently joining the fun, That's called luck. That's
yes, bad. And then you win and you want your kid to feel good, so you let them go up and get whatever the prize is.
Oh, and they didn't even do it. The kid, the parent was doing the kid, and the kid went up to like, yeah okay. Yeah,
it's just people suck, Kyle. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes people suck.
Are you aware humans can ruin perfectly good things?
Yes. I'm
aware.
Perfectly harmless fun.
Well, anyway, the Gilly Sharks are having perfectly harmless fun in the NGS. And so they make this. So like one of the bingo runs they got last night is play Genji or Hanzo, go E-build, play as Zarya, play as Hogger, and induction Tassadar. So they ended up over the course of the night running this. And I believe in the bottom left corner is play as Malfurion, which the enemy support mentioned at the beginning that he really, really didn't want to do, which they actually did end up winning that game. But he really did not want to be Malfurion, but they did it for the bingo, right? So nice. We ended up winning. So we take this win with a little, you know, with a grain of salt, because on the enemy side, while they are amazing players who can perform amazing combos, they were having some fun as well at the same time. Mainly if I were to like highlight anything for the listeners out there to enjoy, it was mainly this Zarya Greymane Malfurion combo on Cursed Hollow.
Is it okay to show the screenshot you sent me?
Yeah, they publicly tweeted that one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they publicly tweeted that one.
Let's head over to here, and I'll just drag it over.
So there's other things on here which seem maybe personal quotes to the team itself, like I'm a melee assassin, or are you trying to show me up? I guess are you trying to show me up is a line from Orphea.
And I mean, also, you know, if we're getting meta about bingo, typically the center space is a free space. So I wonder if that's a joke that they say that so much that it's going to happen.
Mm.
But in here, it apparently, whatever game this was, no one was trying to show anyone up, or at the very least, they were not called out on it.
Or like this madness, it would not even play as Zagara. You got to win as Zagara. So, you know, do they have so many Zagara wins under their belt that they are burdened and must restrict that? Who knows? There's something called streaking. What is that? Are you just winning the whole thing, or are you equipping Tychus with a speedo and running for it?
It makes me think it's like you get a Hero of the Storm accolade, and they yell, "We're going streaking!"
So all kinds of wacky stuff on here. Very much personalized for the Gilly Sharks, but seems like a really fun way to augment a like. In fact, maybe I could even do this for our patron Bonanza. We'll be doing one.
Very soon. My god, dude, we could totally put one of these together for our patron games.
Yeah,
there's gonna be me playing as Zagara, Illidan, Garrett Tilt. There's gonna be Kyle stays positive even though stuff is clearly bullshit. there's gonna be wacky comp that doesn't work and wacky comp that does work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Garrett complains about Junkrat. A lot of this is just gonna be Garrett has opinions.
That's why you run a show here, after all. You need opinions.
Aram Junkrat could be a tile. Duplicates?
That'd be fun.
Aram Duplicates would be a tile in ours, because we get very excited when duplicates happen. Well, we get very excited when we get to be the duplicates. We get not so excited when we have to play against the duplicates.
It's a fun time. It's an enjoyable time. So we ended up facing in game two, their Cursed Hollow, a Nubarak, Malfurion, Dahaka, Greymane, and Zarya. And basically the Dahaka's job was to flank in team fights, but otherwise just soak. And for this entire game, we are macro ahead. In fact, we had, I believe, two keeps down in the final moments, but because of their Greymane, supported by a Malfurion and a Zarya, once it got on core, that was the end. So despite an entire macro winning game, it came down to just a core call that can't be stopped. It's kind of that meat butcher or a Zul'jin locking on in the late game.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. Yeah, we had our own meat butcher this afternoon during our lunch games.
Oh, meat apocalypse, yeah.
Dude, that guy got stacked real quick. We were, for the dear listeners at home, actually, everybody, no one saw this. We play lunch games. And we don't feel like performing. They're off stream. We were a comp that like could just hold stuff still. And there was a Deathwing on the opposing team and everyone just ran them up because Deathwing just like tanked, and it didn't matter who we threw like bone prison on and stuff. It was irrelevant. That was a Fed Butcher.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I've seen that, man. Makes me want to play Butcher. I know I'm not going to get lucky and end up in such an experience, but so who's going to be our gray main on next week's patron games? That's what I want to know.
That's a good question. What you kind of got going on here too is the Anubarak Beetles can tank the tower. So basically any time we were where we weren't supposed to be, or they won a team fight of any kind, they could take keeps just in a flash of a second.
Well, and put me in extremely powerful. I've been dying to get back on Anubarak.
Nice. Yeah. Well, he's in a great place, that Anubarak. Anubarak's in a really good place right now.
He's been there for a bit. He's been there for a bit. I keep finding as someone who's like been really just, I've been playing a lot, but I'm playing casually. Like, I just like, I every time I get off of a hero that has lane clear, I have a bad time. Just like, no, why? So there's that. We're getting a very kind message from Joey in chat room. Thank you, Joey. Welcome to the live show. Thanks for
having me. Thanks for joining us. Very sweet. Thanks for joining us.
Well, while we're dishing out thanks, you want to thank some patrons?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We kind of already mentioned it like in passing, but like, thank you so much for the support, everybody. Really appreciate it. If you're listening and you've thought to yourself that you want to support what we're putting out into the world, check out patreon.com/ITN. We'll get you access to our Discord. And also you can sign up for our game nights. We're going to be doing one next Thursday. The patron bonanza, as we'd like to call it. I tend to have an adult beverage, and my opinions get louder and louder as the night goes on. It's a good time. And we have a new patron this week to thank, Adam Dotson. Thank you so much for signing up and supporting us. If you haven't already, go sign up, attach your Discord info to your Patreon account, and you'll automatically be added to our Discord. And also wanted to give a shout out to some other patrons, Abootman for upping their pledge, as well as Melody, who not only upped their pledge, but is now a 6.5 patron, Kyle.
Nice. Well done.
They upped their pledge to 650, making them a 6.5 patron. I really think we should make this a level, because people do this every once in a while. We don't have it as level, so there's not an easy way to keep count of how many 6.5 patrons we have.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we need a 3.3 or 323. We need to get all the meme numbers in there.
Oh, yeah. That would be good. That would be good. I like it. I like it. But thank you for the support, everybody. Check it out. Patreon.com/ITN. Moving right along, Kyle, you've mentioned an NGS strategy that I know nothing about. Not on the show yet, but like in passing off air.
It's a very casual sounding strategy, but it's really, really hard to do. Mm. This actually came up in my upcoming Heroes Hearth interview video, which will be over at youtube.com/Heroes Hearth. I got a Zagara game. With Legacy.
I already watched your interviews, man. You didn't have to like make one just for me.
It's a really interesting idea. So it's solo lane Zagara for Dragonshire, but it's in bottom lane. So what's developed in Dragonshire almost exclusively for Dragonshire right now, and might leak over to others as we go, but it's 1-3-1. And we used to do 1-4 because the four man would go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Well, control over the middle triangle, the Bermuda Triangle, the shape of power, has become restricted. And there's a lot of only tanks going through there, unless you're aware of everybody else, because of Junkrat traps and all sorts of other ganks that can happen, Anubarak being prevalent. So bottom lane has become more exclusive. However, you still want that four-man fight power. If you get another bruiser, plus your tank that's managing the triangle, you're going to have two Lova throughput for Dragonshire because you're having all these smaller engagements. So you never want to do double bruiser, another bruiser in this bottom lane. So what you end up doing often is something like a Zeratul, something that can clear fast, but still has the assassin quality that you're looking for. Maybe it's a Genji. But as that strategy started developing, as it became Genji, as it became Zeratul, people said, well, I'm not going into Zeratul as a melee. I'm not doing Kira in that lane. I'm going to get destroyed, or it's going to be a skill matchup, right? I don't want that. I don't want it to be close. I'm going to see an enemy Zeratul, and I'm going to go Hanzo. So Zeratul can never touch me, but I'm poking him down, and I'm ruining his health. I'm going to go with something long range that Samuro doesn't like get in my business all the time, and I can whittle him down so his illusions are, you know, bad. And if you have the Sammy, then you have to get the Abathur to regenerate the Samuro. Otherwise, his illusions start becoming bad because they're based on his own health. So there's this back and forth that kind of happens. Well, Zeratul started getting countered by, and these melee assassins at the bottom lane started getting countered by Hanzo. And eventually people found out that Hanzo can be countered by Zagara. And now Zagara has become one of these sort of premier bottom lane solo assassins for the 1-3-1.
Very interesting. I was curious. It's insert that meme. You had my attention, but now you have my curiosity, kind of a thing. Or other way around. I think I messed it up. I recently saw Django and Chain 2. Anyway, I digress. It's like I started listening to this and I was like, okay, this sounds good. I don't know if there's lessons here for like average players like me, but holy crap, man. It's for me specifically.
Yes. And chat, yeah, ask the obvious question, Ma or Nah? Yeah, you want the Ma. So this is Ma. It's about saving yourself because you are going to creep through the center triangle, which is being managed by your tank. So like your tank is basically defending your creep nodes. The team, the three, helps you defend. They tactically defend your creep because it's giving them a site advantage. And it's how you're actually able to push up on the Hanzo and get wall damage in, you know, like pre-ammo levels. Like you want to be forward on the cigar and you've got three people watching out for you for the rotate. So it's really aggressive, really forward. But then Maw is your emergency body block if it doesn't catch people or otherwise just run. And that whole shrine area getting back in gives you a lot of opportunity to just be like, whoa, Maw, like, I don't care if it catches anybody. Just block this zone. I need to get out. And the cooldown's short.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So Zag is the bot, but just rotates to mid to cause havoc on walls.
Doesn't go anywhere. Nowhere near mid. Stays bottom the whole time.
Oh, stays bot the whole time. Okay.
The most she's going to do is like manage her creep up around the camp, perhaps. And
gotcha. Okay. Interesting. Well, that's cool, man. Because I mean, I see I'm like forever plat. I'm a real average player. I see a lot of Hanzo play and I see a lot of Zagara play. So like knowing that, like I've never thought about Zagara as a Hanzo counter. Is it just locking on with the Hydra just ruins his day?
Yeah. Yeah, it's you go very, very light on Banelings, but the roaches can be dropped far enough back that they poke Hanzo and kind of whittle him down to like that, you know, 3/4 kind of zone where he gets a little dangerous. But every time a Hydra comes out, Hanzo has to use his primary damage dealing on the Hydra to get rid of it, which means he's not dealing with you for 3 seconds or so. So you've got time to burn buildings while he runs away from a Hydra, or he has to full bail over a wall. And then you draft a Muradin or something along those lines. So Hanzo has to choose, do I get away from this Hydra or die? Or do I, you know, do I jump away from the Hydra and then Muradin now knows I don't have jump and I die? And so Hanzo gets stuck in this really tough position where he's going to get dove no matter what. He either has to deal with the Hydra, get away from the Hydra, or get away from the Muradin. Mm. He can't do both.
My gears are just turning and I'm smiling just for pickup games because I've been seeing so many Hanzos. And if you're telling me, well, this is just pick a cigar and he's going to have a bad day, I'm just like, cool. You had me at Zag.
Yeah, this is full giant killer, by the way, because you want, even though Hanzo's like not high percent health, you want any damage you can get out of that thing. So you want the bonus damage, you want those roaches doing the bonus damage, anything that whittles down Hanzo's health in this more isolated scenario means he can't trade with you. He can go in, he could maybe kill you, but he's going to get cleaned up. And once Hanzo's gone as a premier ranged assassin on the enemy side, whereas Zagara's probably running alongside like a Vol or something like that too, they're going to be out more than you are missing the, so no Mutalisk here. There is a, his legacy was telling me about a strat that he goes into more detail on the video where you can do Nidus on like Towers of Doom. So Zagara has this fill option in you lost the double soak Towers of Doom. So let's say you early pick. Actually, I had this exact scenario come up last night in Storm League. It was really nice job by the enemy team, but it sucks so much. I first picked Azul because I was like, Towers of Doom, let's do this. You know, I've decayed down to like Diamond for you, and let's just rip the Azul. It's going to be awesome. They went Abathur, Samuro.
Ooh.
I wasn't honestly that concerned because I was like, I'm going to level. And later on, like with full blue build, like Sammy did not matter. And I felt awesome.
Yeah, he's just healing you at that point.
Yeah. But for the entire early game, every poke of a scythe, every slap I did, Abathur would regenerate it off. And then the mines would ruin my entire time double soaking.
That's a good Abathur. You ended up winning.
I did. What I ended up having to do was I had to push so deep to the... I had Shade so I could block auto attacks and get away from the Sammy.
Yep.
So I had to push so deep onto the enemy side that I was double soaking via their half of the map because Abathur couldn't mine both the left and right side of the map. So every time I'd push up, I'd start running back and down. I'd destroy all those mines. Then I'd switch back and I'd double soak the other one.
So you just do it from a forward position.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Or like weave through the boss, or like I was trying to do these really bizarre path things. Either way, ruining the double soak. So if you end up in a countered Leoric or a countered Zul, you can do Nidus Zagara from the bottom to go catch soak top. And Leo basically becomes mid at 10. Your early game is going to suffer, but you basically say, we're going to recover from this hellscape that's been created for Leoric by putting a Nidus Zagara in there. And if that doesn't happen, if you don't, you know, draft to lose, then you kind of go into the full build. But either way, it's giant killer Zagara across the board. You're just changing the 10.
That's awesome. What a world. I like this world that we're now in.
It's a dynamic thought. I mean, really, I think the only thing that's lingering right now is Johanna in many people's minds. It seems like Rhaegar has, despite, you know, at home win rates, has really kind of stabilized as a decent, let's guess. I haven't looked at the stats for like Storm Division NGS, but maybe let's guess like 55% win rate. It's not insane anymore. It's just that Johanna has to be banned, has to be dealt with.
You remember when they were trying to make Johanna not a ubiquitous hero?
Funny that, right?
Yeah. It's spinning hard drives, Kyle.
Spin the shield.
We're coming around full circle to an example that doesn't actually exist.
It's just damage, though. Like, it's not an impossible scenario to fix. It's a really interesting topic, though. And this was a development puzzle that has to be tough to solve. Because if you get rid of that poke damage, Johanna's not fun anymore. For a lot of people. For me, I certainly agree to it. The whole blinding through a wall, that pop, the shield, that's such a great pop animation. And if that gets kills, you just feel good.
Yeah, it's really satisfying. Like, what else do you get to do? Do Q, and they were, you know, 2 inches too far, because that thing has the smallest range in the world.
Taking a look at Storm Division stats here. And it's taking a little bit to load, but let's see. So most played is Tychus, Blaze, and Stukov. So basically the non-bannables. The highest win rate is Garrosh and Blaze and Zeratul. The lowest win rate is Li Ming, Urel, and Hogger, actually. Let's see if we can get some general win rates here.
Not that different from live stats. I think Hogger's doing better than that, but... Yarel's been low for a while. Li Ming's been low for a while. Which stinks, because I've been having the Li Ming itch again. It just don't work, man. Whenever I make reference to, hey, I played a hero without lane clear, it was probably Li Ming.
Rhaegar has a flat 50% win rate in Storm Division, with Johanna having a 55% win rate.
Interesting. Yeah, it's coordinated play, right? Like, I don't think Rhaegar...
Oh, the top end. Yeah, the top end of our...
Rhaegar's not going to overperform in coordinated play like he is in pickup games. This is kind of it. I love seeing that kind of stuff. Like, how is it different from regular games? How is it the same? So, good to know that your rel isn't seeing results anywhere.
No, no, she's fun, and I do enjoy flirting with my Urel play, but no big surprise here. Actually, maybe a slight upset. We kind of refer to Infernal Shrines as the premier map right now. Actually, Towers of Doom is the most picked map in Storm Division.
I think it might be the best map.
Volskaya being cautiously. The least picked.
Oh, wow. Hey, Kyle, the sky is blue and water is wet.
I am a little surprised Sky Temple is so low, but I totally get it from a pro perspective. It can be really, really toxic. Is really, let's go that far. Because when you have that much of a macro mind, if you were fighting something like we did with the Ghillie Sharks there, where they take a building when you're not watching, you're behind the whole game. There's no recovery method.
Makes sense. Well, Volskaya's not a surprise.
No, no, not at all.
Needs some love. Needs a new coat of polish. But alas. Anyways, shall we take some emails?
Let's do that.
Let's do it.
Darkness, stop calling.
Does anyone else hear that buzzing?
Hold on. Darkness just texted me.
You can send your emails to itncast@gmail.com. Or if you're supporting us on Patreon, just drop us a message in the Discord. Jordan writes in, says, a thought on the ranged tank idea. You could have ranged abilities that do damage and maybe light CC, but could reactivate the abilities to greatly reduce the damage, but increase the CC. Maybe something like a skill shot that you could purposely miss, then reactivate, and it's like an Alarak push. You could use it to push people away from diving on your team, or push mages out of range. I haven't thought too much on specifics, but just an idea. And I realize the range tank push is kind of like Morales' grenade, so maybe it's already been done.
I mean, Alarak is not a bad place to look for an update.
No, not at all. Not at all. Alarak, yeah, that's interesting. It's a little, like, if you retooled Alarak, like, pulled some damage out and pushed some health in, be tank adjacent.
I can see that. I mean, Kira is rarely run as a tank, but it can happen.
Yeah.
It'd be a very interesting place for him, kind of up that. He's got the slow on his lightning. I believe you have to spec into it. But the whole Counter-Strike thing, I think in general, like, Wizard Tank is just a really fun idea. I love the idea of a Johanna-like iron skin on a wizard, allowing them to sort of enter a form for a time that would allow them to tank. And frequently enough, I'm not talking about like an avatar. That's why I bring up the iron skin.
You're talking like, would it work like iron skin? Would it give you like unstoppable and a shield, or?
Yeah, unstoppable and a shield, right? Something, and visually you would be treated to a kind of golemification of your wizard, some sort of power suit, perhaps, even.
So, like, Li Ming's Archon, but it doesn't just instantly get you murdered?
Yeah, that's not a bad way to think about it, right? I mean, Li Ming becomes the Death Star. And we know how
Archon has got to be one of the coolest things in the game that I absolutely never take and can't stand.
Really, really fun in Diablo 3, though. Oh, that's such a fun build.
Yeah, man. Don't get me started. Dude, I could play some Diablo 3. It's been a while.
It has, but you know what? It has been a while. The story's not joyous. Actually, I mean, Diablo's supposed to be dark, but, you know, Diablo 2, I just love the journey you go on, and someone else is having the bad time, right? Marius is having a bad time. In Diablo 4 or 3, I feel like I'm having a bad time, or maybe...
Well, your buddy, like, is having a bad time. Leah's having a bad time.
Yeah, Leah's really having a bad time, and then Deckard dies to a butterfly, you know?
Yeah. Reaper of Souls is great.
Reaper of Souls is great.
That's a great, because it's just, you've just got this awesome baddie and you just got to deal with him and it's wonderful. That feels cool, man. I like your idea. I just want more mages that feel empowered to step up. Right? I realize the challenges with Kael'thas. He just runs amok in lower leagues when he's too good. But boy, like, it sucks. It's so dangerous to step up as Kael'thas. And Li Ming can work in the right comps, but I feel those comps are too far and few between. But she kind of has what I'm talking about because she can teleport. Like, screw Archon. Archon was just a visual linkage for me. I was like, oh, you're describing like visually Archon. But she has that, you know, teleport allows her to take a step up or just teleport up kind of a thing. But then what do you got? Jaina, like, yeah, I guess she can take a risk and ice block. But if your team doesn't back you up and save your bacon, you're just standing still waiting until they kill you.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to take Alarak into that tank role and maybe retool the Counter-Strike to be something maybe AoE in a circle rather than the big triangle. Just, you know, catching damage, pushing people around, slowing them actively. A powerful auto attack he has. He just can't really use it a lot of the time because it's too dangerous. Because why did I mention him in my 3-1-3 breakdown? And it's sad. I know why I didn't, because he's underpowered. He has a tough time dealing with poke, and he'd be very much in that, like, well, I'm just going to run Hanzo and be like, oh, well, I'm done kind of environment.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd be having a bad time for sure. But that's interesting. I still like struggle to understand how a range tank would be particularly helpful. Just because of positioning and pressure and access to the backline and all that kind of stuff.
Well, there's a fantasy in a lot of tactical games like Dragon Age as the control wizard. So you have banishment spells, you have bone prison like maneuvers, you've got summons, and you basically orchestrate the battlefield. You are the shot caller, and your presence is felt, but at range. So in this case, you could be the wizard, which I would love. Some of these Torghast or, you know, Shadowlands wizards are really, really cool in their art. Like, the big gnarly staff with the book on type with like wearing some horn thing and crotching along and being like, hey, you know, I'd love something visually like that in the game that then could perhaps transform in a moment into a giant robot skeleton beast thing. But the amount of CC you bring, because in that Dragon Age kind of scenario, that tactical game, you can even, you know, XCOM or whatever you might be playing, those sort of characters deal no damage, but you often run hyper damage alongside of them to make up for that fact. So you're stunning at range, you're controlling, you're creating zones. What we have is Chromie creates zones, but she also deals a lot of damage. So she's got to be balanced by that. What if we took away all of Chromie's damage and gave her survivability instead?
But why do you, that's where I'm still just like, I don't know, man. Like, why do you need survivability if you're not in the fight? Essentially, and we kind of talked about this last week, so I'm tiptoeing around. Yeah. I'm still just not sold on the whole idea. So I'm like, do you just not draft melee? Because like Kerrigan jumps in and just dies instantly because the tank is nowhere to be found.
I think that's a little bit of the fantasy where we breach what people actually do. And so many times there are great ideas on paper, like Torghast, you know, where it just sounds fun. And this seems like clearly this wizard we're describing would have all the aggro and his survivability would allow them to be the tank. But what more likely is happening, which is exactly what you were saying, is Kerrigan then jumps in. They go, well, let's just kill Kerrigan since there's no body here like Murd and actively blocking us or ruining our good time.
Yeah. It's just it's a practicality concern for me more than anything. I think there's plenty of cool ideas as far as kits are concerned. But yeah. Again, give Arthas a gun. De La Soak wrote in and said, keeping with the Morales thing, do you think Morales needs anything? She's my most played healer because something is wrong with me. But her kit is quite boring compared to the flashy stuff Anduin or White Man can pull off. It's interesting. I think of Anduin as a really basic healer.
Oh, it's so much fun.
And I think of White Man as like the polar opposite, where it's one of the flashiest. You're trying to spin plates while juggling kind of a thing. Anyway, Dale so continues. Her grenades are the most unique part of her kit, but how they factor into the healer theme is puzzling at best until you hit level 13. That is a fair assessment, Dale so. I guess what I'm really saying is, why can't she get energy back at all from globes or tapping? Even 8 or 20 energy per hit from those gameplay elements respectively seems like it would be tame. Am I crazy? Well, De La Soak, you might be crazy, but I don't think you're crazy here with Morales. Her healing throughput is really strong. And so if you could battery her like a, almost like a Ariel, I think she'd be too good. But I don't know about like eight. If you go on the low end of what you suggested, like eight energy, I think it'd be okay. Where's your head at?
Are there any other manaless heroes that people feel really bad about grabbing a globe on?
No, on Illidan, I'm always damaged, so I feel great about globes.
Yeah, and same for like Hogger and such. I don't feel disappointed by my globe. So maybe the problem more is that Morales has that trait where she's always healing herself. So the globe has this double problem of like really not doing anything.
Really don't. The thing you need is energy.
Yeah.
There's only one thing you need and it's energy. Morales players only want one thing and it's disgusting.
It is actually. I miss when Morales used to have the hearth, but if your head Morales is useless and if you're behind, Morales feels useless, and if your head Morales is invincible. So it's one of those scenarios for sure. I think she's got a really good balance between her armor and her heal consumption. And she used to be the premier healer on Braxis. We're talking like 2018. I feel like before kind of Deckard came along, but now Deckard is the modern version of this. You just run out of mana. You absolutely are just out of mana. You have to hearth at level 4 and everyone really suffers while you're gone. So Morales now with her little breaks she can take is more effective in those zones, but her grenade is chaotic. And it's hard to embrace that chaos before you have the talents. You can stack it for damage. I'm not sure what build exactly De La Soak's doing here, but I think that's a really interesting idea about her energy not feeling like something you get to interact with or even take risks for.
To me, the disconnect is like when you do need it, like when you're in that mid game and you're getting into those long objective fights and you just run out of energy and there's just nothing you can do to get it back faster.
Hmm.
I wonder if it's a feels bad more than an is bad kind of a thing, but also I don't think Morales is like rocking the win rates right now. Well, she's at 50%. That's better than we have a lot of the roster of Heroes of the Storm falling under the 50% win rate. So it's not terrible.
Morales is unplayed in Storm Division, which makes perfect sense. She's very diveable. Mm. In coordinated, yeah. You got the meta hack kind of thing, which is fun. I'd be curious which part of the power pie should be augmented. Clearly, she has a lot of heal. I think the armor is really fun. For me, the grenade is the least fun part, but that's because I visit her so rarely. I'm just bad at it when I get to it.
Yeah, it's some about it, probably because she's also, you know, looks like a Marine. I just expect it to be like Tychus's, and I'm like, oh, right, shit, I have to reactivate this thing. When you get in the groove, it's great. It's absolutely great, but...
What did the old StarCraft medic have on its kit? It had some weird stuff. Had heal, had restoration to remove parasites and snares, plague, a devour corrosive acid, maelstrom lockdown, optical flare, and irradiate. So
does Morales not have a cleanse?
She does used not. To way back in the day before the big cleaning. Did that happen? The Heroes patch notes.
Boy, does she feel like she should have a cleanse.
It seems thematic for her, you know, being a medic and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And stating the nature of your medical emergency. I would like to have a cleanse.
Yeah, doc. I'd like to move. Thank you.
Let's see. Cleanse, active, removed. This was back in 2017.
All right, in the year 2022, let's do it. Come on. Give that. There we go. We found it. Give Morales back a cleanse.
She lost, no self-cast there. 2016, this talent functionality has been changed. Unstoppable for 1 second, cannot be self-cast. Otherwise, it was removed, yeah. This was a big update where she lost Mule, in fact. Thematic, the mule there.
Yeah, I still think it's a travesty that Abathur still has mule, and it's not Zerg themed at all. It doesn't look infested.
Optical Flare is the other StarCraft 1 medic ability, where they use a A-13 grenade launcher to reduce sight of an enemy unit to 1 and removes any detection ability.
So, Dahaka?
Yeah, basically an isolate, or I think Mal'Ganis has one of these.
Yes.
As well.
Yes.
Let's see, medic StarCraft 2.
Wasn't a multiplayer unit because we had medevac.
That's right. Yeah,
they were campaign only.
So we had heals, advance heals. Yep, campaign stuff.
They were also in the co-op commanders, depending on what Terran hero you played. But needs cleanse, man. Needs cleanse. But also, give a little energy back. Just a little bit.
I mean, could we Rhaegar that? That'd be an interesting trade to do. You have a Rhaegar double-sided cleanse where you can cleanse or get energy for yourself.
Oh, could Rhaegar that. I think you could Rhaegar that.
Yeah. So you cast a cleanse or restore X amount of energy to yourself. And that's your trade-off.
I like that. Here's a question, though. Is it baked in, or do we make it a talent that just everyone takes because it sounds wonderful?
I think you bake it. You give level 1 cleanse like Rhaegar. And then if you self-cast it, you do this other thing with the energy.
Okay. In that case, let's just have a big healer patch. Can we get Lili a little more damage back, please?
What would you give Lili in the Rhaegar scenario?
I just want more damage.
Oh, you just so
I just want more damage.
Take Water Dragon and make it the aggressive form of cleanse, and then find a new level 10 talent.
Water Dragon attacks like slow the enemy instead of, so it's like the antithesis of cleansing.
No, I'm saying the level 10.
Water Dragon. Sorry. I'm thinking of Cloud.
Is that Water Dragon? It might be Spirit or something like that.
I think it is Water Dragon, isn't it? Been a while since I've taken it. I just go cups these days. But yeah, it's Water Dragon. It is literally called Water Dragon.
Lately.
Yep.
So what's the other dragon called? Spirit Dragon? Cloud Serpent.
Cloud Serpent.
Cloud Serpent.
God, Kyle, I already said it.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, it's been... I am currently healer main for my NGS team, and Lili has not come up once. Taranda's come up quite a few times, actually.
None of this surprises me.
Cavalier guest has been like, oh, you don't play Taranda? I'm like, yeah, no, I don't. And he's all sad about it. So I play more Anduin. Anduin's great. Anduin's the best.
More Anduin.
My favorite thing about Anduin is there is no choice. There's no... Should I heal you? Yes. There's no mana management. There's not. Should you top off someone as their pet? Like Muradin's walking by you, he's gonna be topped off anyway. Should he heal him? Yeah, why not?
Here you go.
There's no reason not to.
Enjoy. We stand together as one. Well, keep the emails coming, everybody. itncast@gmail.com. If you're supporting us over at patreon.com/itn, write us in the Discord. Before we go, we do want to thank our lovely patrons again. If you're out there listening, if you like what we're doing every week here on Into the Nexus, if you feel you get value from our show and you want to give some value in return, check out patreon.com/ITN. You don't need to give $6.50, but you can if you want. Whatever level works for you works for us. So check it out. patreon.com/ITN. Get access to that Discord. Come join us for our patron game nights. And a huge thanks to our producers, Sean B., Mike Gar, and Justin St. Pierre. Thank you for the support. If you want to become a producer, we have limited slots left over at patreon.com/ITN. We're live Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern right here on twitch.tv/amovetv. And Kyle and I are making new content, well, newer content, over at youtube.com/amovetv, where you can see us playing through Final Fantasy XIV for the first time ever. We just posted a video about the end of Heaven's Ward.
Yes.
Technically, it's the middle patch, but apparently the middle patch is the end of most expansions from here on out.
It was a safe title. We enjoy the clickbait over there, but it's always honest clickbait. So
we deliver on whatever the headline is.
Yes.
The headline will be delivered upon. I can promise you that. So anyways. Well,
I would love to once again promote youtube.com/amovetv, the Grinding Gear channel there. But I do just want to thank everybody on the Patreon here again. It's awesome being here. Thank you all for supporting the show. If we're able to get a couple more patrons or one more producer slot, we're going to have those guests back, and we really look forward to it. So help us out over at patreon.com/ITN.
Yeah, thanks very much. We like paying our guests for their time. I'm Garrett Art on Twitter, and that's all I want to promote for this week with you. Thank you, patrons. Really appreciate it. That's going to wrap it up for this episode of Into the Nexus. Until next time, good luck and have fun.
Take care.